Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurts throws, intercepted, picked off all the way down the sideline. Cordell Flott inside the 30, out of bounds, deep in Eagles territory.
How about them New York Giants? Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome aboard on a feel-good football Friday. Al Michaels, the call on Amazon Prime last night as the New York Giants stomp all over the Philadelphia Eagles 34-17 on Thursday Night Football at MetLife Stadium to give the Eagles their second loss in 5 days. We know that tango around here and how damaging that can be and how pummeling that can be. As a matter of fact, it happened last year in November when the Pittsburgh Steelers won in the final couple of minutes at Northwest Stadium, and then four and a half nights later, whatever it was, went up to Philadelphia for Thursday Night Football, and the Eagles pulled away in the fourth quarter, and then the Commanders actually lost a third in a row a week and a half later against the Dallas Cowboys. 34-17. I got to say, before I say any more, I got to give major kudos to my colleague and friend, Coach Sheehan. He was calling not just the Giants covering, because Kevin speaks in a lot of gambling lingo, you know, with the smell test and all that. He loves that. He was calling, did I hear this right, Mad Max? He was calling for an outright Giant victory earlier this week.
So it's very funny. Kevin believed that the Giants had a pretty good chance at winning. Earlier this week.
I thought he definitively said he thought they were going to win.
He may have. Okay. I can't remember the exact verbiage, but okay. I will take you through what he actually bet last night. He bet Giants +7.
Okay.
But he also bet the under, which was dead almost right off the bat. So, Kevin,
what was it set at? 46?
It was 45? It started out at 43.5, and then it fell all the way down to 40.5.
Okay.
Yeah,
it bet down all the way to 40
and a half.
Oh, yeah,
it bet
really?
3 points
wow.
down, and not even close.
They combined for 51.
Yeah, so Kevin went 1-1 last night. Your boy decided to parlay Giants +7.5 with the under. That didn't work out great, but I did put more money on the Giants money line at +350, and
attaboy.
That worked out pretty
attaboy.
Good. This is what happens when you listen to your coaches, and the guy who sat in this chair or sits in this chair or who sat in this chair 24 hours ago, an actual Giants fan, did not believe when I told him. When I told him, he stood there and he laughed. He laughed at me. He laughed at Sheehan. He laughed at all of us who believed in his New York Giants.
He had no confidence that his team was going to win.
And here we sit, just 24 hours later.
I'll
glowing.
Admit, I picked the Eagles to win too.
You fool!
I thought they would pull away in the fourth quarter.
Listen,
I thought it would be like a back and forth, you know, like
there was a
punch for three and a half quarters, and that the Eagles would, you know, kind of pull away a little bit in the fourth quarter. And I said, look, if the Giants don't turn the ball over, then they're going to give themselves a more than puncher's chance. They turned the ball over once last night. Once. Mm-hmm. Okay? And you just heard Cordell Flott. Is it Cordell or Cordell? Dale. I think it's Cordell.
Cordell?
Cordell. I know it's Flott because it rhymes with slot. Flott, but I think it might be
Cordale.
Cordale. Okay.
Cordale.
I don't know if it's hard Dale. Pronounced like that, but it's not Cordell,
no,
which
it's Cordale.
Is more common. Cordale. Okay. Cordale Flott, as you just heard with the interception, for 68 yards on the return. And Cam Skidaboo with not one, not two, but three interceptions.
What?
I'm sorry, touchdowns. I got my mind on interceptions. And think about this. Now, the Giants were, everyone knew they were going to go to Jackson Dart at some point this year.
Mm-hmm.
But they were steadfast, despite the huge preseason, because preseason just doesn't mean as much as people want to make it out to be. The huge preseason of Jackson Dart. But combined with that, and combined with how bad Russell Wilson was week one here, and week three against Kansas City, but it was neutralized by how unbelievable he was, for the most part, outside of a killer interception, week two in Dallas, right? And maybe that says more about Dallas's defense than it says anything positive about Russ. But the move to Jackson Dart was not only a coach that doesn't want to get fired, Dable, and presumably Joe Shane was involved in that decision as well. But it was the right decision because everyone could kind of see that, yes, you might get a vintage Russell Wilson performance every now and then, but you were not going to get that consistently. And at that point, with Jameis Winston on the roster, with Tommy DeVito already gone and in New England, you said, all right, if Jackson Dart has learned a lot of the system, if not all of the system, and the terminology, and can command the huddle in NFL regular season play, and if the coaches think he can handle that, then why would you wait any more time? This isn't about, hey, I'm trying to win games with Russell Wilson because I think he's better than Jackson Dart. This was, I felt all along, this was, hey, man, Jackson Dart's just not ready yet in every way, component, shape, or form, right? Believe it or not, a lot of rookie quarterbacks are not Jaden Daniels, where they are cyborgs mentally and physically. And I'm not saying Jackson Dart isn't smart or football IQ savvy, but that wasn't necessarily the good book on him either. So sometimes, believe it or not, guys, it takes some time. And that's why I believe, for stability purposes, to give Jackson Dart a couple of more weeks, that's why I believe Brian Daboll went so hard with Russell Wilson out of the chute, despite how Dart looked in preseason. Because it's really hard to master the position of quarterback by week one of an NFL season for a rookie. It's really hard to master it by week one of year two. Never mind week one of year one, okay? And clearly, they had signed not only Russell Wilson in free agency, but Jameis Winston, because they didn't know if they were going to get a quarterback, right? And as it turned out, they knew, okay, at number three, we really, 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 really think Abdul Carter is going to be the guy. They could have gone quarterback there, and a lot of people were convinced they were going Shedeur Sanders, but they weren't convinced of that. They knew that, and so they traded back up in the bottom part of the first round to get Jackson Dart after drafting Abdul Carter, and then added Cam Skidaboo later on. And all of a sudden, while the Giants aren't exactly back to what the Giants used to be, the Giants have some life. and then some. The Giants have some juice. The Giants have energy. And that was a terrible decision by Jalen Hurts on that out sideline pass that Cordell Flott picked off and ran all the way back. Terrible. Just awful. But, like, I don't know. We've always said Jalen Hurts is not great during the regular season. The biggest problem right now in Philadelphia, I mean, Goddard had 11 targets, 9 catches, 110 yards, and the touchdown. The biggest problem in Philadelphia right now is not necessarily Jalen Hurts. It's Saquon Barkley has been off to a very slow start in all of their games as a running back, as a pure runner, 6 games. He has been largely held in check. Not totally, largely held in check. We know he had the big catch and run last week against Denver. Great. Last night, in his second return to MetLife Stadium as a member of the Eagles, he only had 3 targets, 2 catches, 9 yards. Outside of Goddard, right, they hit A.J. Brown early. They got him involved early. I think that was the 30-yarder. He had 9 targets, 6 catches, 80 yards. Devontae Smith had 5 targets, 4 catches, 49 yards. Neither scored a touchdown. Jahan Dotson still does very little. I mean, he'll make an occasional contribution. He'll catch a ball or two a game, and he had a huge catch in the Super Bowl, and he had a touchdown catch in their divisional playoff win against, maybe wild card playoff win against the Green Bay Packers. But right now, it's they can't figure out a way to get Saquon on track, and especially in the red zone, and you started hearing about those guys are frustrated in the red zone, they can't get A.J. Brown and Dallas and Devontae Smith on track. And last night you saw them get cute and creative with the little shovel pitch toss to Goddard for the touchdown from the 3-yard line, but that's about it. That's about it. The Eagles scored 17 points against the Giants. I scored 17 points, I believe, last week as well against Denver. And that was the, you know, sizable blown lead. So 17 points. Yeah, it was. 17 points in each of the last 2 games over a 5-day period. And now all of a sudden the insurmountable Eagles, the unbeatable Eagles, who nobody should have bought for 1 second that they were unbeatable. Nobody. If you actually watched how they played, if you watched how they played against Cowboy B's Eagles on opening night, if you watched how lucky and fortunate they were to beat the Rams on a blocked field goal in return in come-from-behind fashion, if you watched that, even though they beat the Chiefs, again, the Chiefs are not good right now. Nobody should have thought that the Philadelphia Eagles were insurmountable, unbeatable. The Broncos doing what they did not surprise me. It should not have surprised you if, again, you were paying attention. Now, a lot of you aren't paying attention, so that's the thing. And I'll admit, I was a little surprised that the Broncos were able to complete that comeback. But last night, without Jalen Carter, I felt pretty good with Tyrone Tracy coming back and Cam. Now, we didn't know all that until, I mean, we knew Tracy was coming back. We didn't know Jalen Carter was definitively not going to play until inactives came out. You had to feel pretty good that the Giants would be able to move the football. And then Jackson Dart, darting all around, for lack of a better term, on that touchdown run and making Zach Bond look foolish. Completely foolish. I mean, that game offered so many things. And when the schedule came out, I said, oh, man, Eagles twice in the last 3 weeks of the season. Yeesh, that's going to be tough. And it might still be. The Eagles got it together down the stretch last year. Although the Commanders won in a sloppy performance by both teams in, what, December 20th, 19th, whatever it was, last year. Remember that game, 36-33? Six turnovers for the Commanders, and they still won? So maybe the Eagles get it together. I don't know. But right now, they're 4-2. They've won a couple of games by a hair. They're not... Not only are they not unbeatable, not only are they not insurmountable, but they might be right prime for the picking. They might be Amazon Prime for the pick. Oh, well, you see what I did there?
Oaks.
On Amazon Prime last night. But anyway, one other thing to come out of that game, besides just, oh, the Giants get a win to go to 2-4. They're only technically a game behind the Commanders, but really more than that, because of the head-to-head advantage. They're 2-4. The Commanders are 3-2. We'll see what they are after tonight. It could be, I mean, after Monday night, it could be two games plus the head-to-head. We'll see. The other thing to come out of that game last night is how about the big FU? The big FU from, it was the head coach of the Eagles.
Sirianni?
Yeah, Nick Sirianni.
Talking about Tank Bigsby?
I was thinking about Kevin Petullo, their offensive coordinator, who dialed up a little trick play that we were talking about. No, how about Nick Sirianni saying, yeah, Raj, on Thursday night football, one of your big spectacles, one of your big stages, you know, the one that you make a lot of money for, I know you hate the tush push. I know you hate the brotherly shove. I know you did everything you could to get rid of it because it's boring, because it's blah, because we're cheating, because we're this, because we're that. I know you're going to get rid of it. But Raj, here. Bam! Raj! Bam! Raj! Bam! Bam! Not one, not two, not three, not four, LeBron James style in Miami. Four brotherly shoves in a row to get 3 yards.
An affront to the sport.
A first down and a touchdown.
Disgusting.
An affront to the sport, huh?
Yeah, he spit on the play.
I'd love to debate that with you there, Mad Max. Maybe we'll do that on the other side. Before we get into the Commanders and the Bears and everything going on in the sports world, I've been on too many radio shows already this morning and had something you know that happened this morning in real life that is much more important than anything we discuss. I not at liberty to say right now, so you'll probably be hearing about it a little bit later on. But, you know, we try and do a sports talk show, and we try and make it entertaining and fun and combative. And I said something about Terry McLaurin that I probably should have just kept to myself. So we'll bring that up, and we'll discuss, and we'll get into the Hail Mary and what impact that might have and everything in between, as we count you down to Monday Night Football between the Bears and the Commanders. But looking back at Thursday night, the four tush pushes in a row by Nick Sirianni and Kevin Petullo of the Eagles, just a big old punch to the face of Roger Goodell on his precious Thursday Night Football. That part I loved, I will tell you that. And we will discuss that more next on the Team 980, just getting rocking and rolling, streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, along with Mad Max, Cowboy B, still hanging out with us and you at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. We'll grab your calls when we can. On a Feel Good Football Friday, we did just get some breaking news. Before we get back to the Eagles conversation, Mad Max, I don't know if you've seen this, but just crossing the wire now, Shedeur Sanders, the great Shedeur Sanders, will be the backup quarterback for Dylan Gabriel and the Cleveland Browns on Sunday, according to head coach Kevin Stefanski.
What, you thought it'd be Bailey Zappe?
I didn't even know Bailey Zappe was on their practice squad. I have forgotten, but Stefanski gave it life earlier this week when he refused to name Shedeur Sanders the number two and said, which, I'll let you know later on in the week. Well, apparently he made his decision. So I take that as a positive for Shedeur, right? I mean, it would have been a really bad look if Bailey Zappe was promoted ahead of him.
And at that point, I would have started to question the Browns, if we haven't, you know, questioned the Browns enough already. But that would have been just an egregious, like, screw you type move from the Browns, especially to a guy that you just spent a fifth round pick on.
Right.
So it'd be very weird.
It would have been, but think about it from this context. It would have been a bad look for the Browns. It would have been a bad look for Shedeur. But hasn't Shedeur created some of this? If there is some sort of the Cleveland Browns, Stefanski, Andrew Berry, whoever, their own, that are like, hey, man, you haven't earned what you think you've earned, and this is another way to show it. Like, they could have done that easily.
Sure.
So apparently, either Shedeur is practicing well enough or is liked enough behind the scenes.
He's liked by his teammates. We know that.
Yeah. But, you know, his teammates, like, listen, I've covered these prima donna quarterbacks, right? I have.
Yeah.
And it can wear down a locker room really fast because they're constantly asked about it. And in this case, a backup quarterback, yes, he's one snap away from playing, but it can really wear down a locker room. Trust me, from somebody who lived the Robert Griffin experience.
True.
And then subsequent to that, everything with Kirk Cousins and then Dwayne Haskins, when he, you know, rest his soul, was here. And then everything since then. I mean, the backup quarterback can become such a polarizing figure. It's why, and people are not going to like this, but it's why so many teams avoided Colin Kaepernick. Because they did not want the backup quarterback, or who they viewed as the backup quarterback, to be bigger than life and to take over a building or a room or the practice or whatever and bring a circus to town. That's why Colin Kaepernick was essentially shoved to the side. And people aren't going to like that. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the God's honest truth. That's why it was that way. And Shedeur Sanders is obviously not the same exact situation, but in some ways he's become bigger than life. And in some ways he's brought the circus to town. Now, they chose to bring that circus to town. Maybe it's worse than they thought. I don't know. We'll see. But, I mean, at least you got to say this. He's either doing something right behind the scenes, practice, film room, meetings, whatever, that he's one snap away from playing on Sunday for the Cleveland Browns. And how about Joe Flacco going to start for the Cincinnati Bengals in Green Bay 5 days after getting there, after a cup of coffee? That's incredible. All right, real quickly, you mentioned, Max, in our last segment when I was talking about the big kind of screw you to the NFL and Raj, who tried to get rid of the tush push, the brotherly shove. Kevin Petullo and Nick Sirianni ordering it four different times from the 3-yard line on. They got a first down, and then they got the touchdown. Four straight times. To me, there is, again, no bigger bleep you to the NFL and Roger Goodell than that. You hate the play. I think we both agree, or let me just say from my perspective, it should be banned because it's an illegal play. They're constantly ahead of the football, nose, helmet, crown, body, what have you. And last night, one of the four in a row, tush pushes, clearly there was a false start and movement. They should have never allowed the shove from behind to be legal in the NFL as they did 15 years ago or whatever it was. There's two problems with the play. It's not the play. It's not the quarterback sneak element. It's their offensive linemen often are ahead of the ball in the neutral zone or moving a split before the snap, and they don't get called. And it is legal right now, and the shove or the push from behind makes it, in my opinion, an unfair play. You, Max, hate the play for what? Because it's illegal or because it's boring?
Well, it for many reasons, actually. Because it is often, how do I put it? It is often, there are often penalties. It is often an illegal start or a false start, usually on the guard. It is also boring. And it sucks, and the Philadelphia Eagles do it, and I hate them, so I want the play banned. But
spoken like a true fan there, Max.
Yeah, I mean, of course. What, you think I'm going to come in with a legitimate argument? Like, but at the same time, like, I feel like the NFL understands that Kevin and I kind of talked about this, and Kevin said it on the show, that it takes people out of the game for, like, two solid minutes of game time of the full 60 that you watch. And the NFL is not a fan of being a passive watch. They want it to be active watch.
Oh, they hate it. They can't stand it because even though it leads to first downs and points often,
mm-hmm.
they don't want first downs and points that way. They want sexy.
Yes, they want it to look cool.
This is... like 9 to 5, put your damn overalls on and grab your pitchfork.
Pull yourself up by your bootstraps.
Yeah,
play.
Exactly. That's what this is.
Yeah, I hate it.
But
it's
they've
disgusting.
Allowed it. They've allowed it by not banning the shove.
And they hoodwinked
us. If they
us.
Didn't shove, they even with the false starts, if they didn't shove players from behind, it would be successful maybe 50% of the time.
Sure.
Maybe.
And it would be even less successful
if the
NFL was...
This is why the NFL is stupid.
Well, listen, if the NFL was actually truthful and the officials actually officiated the play as close as they said they were going to do it at the beginning of the season, or when they, like, you know, when the Eagles did it, I forget how long... all the weeks run together.
Right.
But when the Eagles did it and they came out and said, hey, we're going to, like, take a closer look at this play, and then you still don't call anything on them. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Yeah. I don't think it lasts another season.
I think it gets banned. I mean, there's too much positive moment. I mean, it came close to getting banned at the winter at the owners meeting.
Yeah,
or whatever,
until Jeff Lurie gave an impassioned speech.
Right. And Jeff Lurie carries a lot of weight, but there's too many that are jealous of it. See, I just wish they would. See, this is my problem with the NFL. You know what? Let me say that. One of many. One of many, as you know. I'm not a big fan of how they operate the league. Let me get to the trending alert, and then I'll finish up on that right here, right now on the Team 98.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There was a point I was going to make about the Eagles and the tush push that I'm now forgetting. I'll be honest with you.
That it sucks?
Well, besides that, I will say this. So many times you get, well, if it works for them, why doesn't everybody do it? And I will say this. It works for them because the rule is stupid and because they break the rules a lot. And because they're really good at exploiting the lunacy of the league that you all love so much. Again, if the league did not allow brotherly shove, the shove component of the play, I promise you they would not be that successful. If the league did not constantly overlook false starts and helmet in the neutral zone, I promise you it would not be as successful and as prevalent. The league is to blame. The Eagles are not to blame. The league is to blame, not the Philadelphia Eagles. And I for one, while Mad Max is mad, I, for one, wanted to say, and this should not surprise you, I have the Eagles back here. Anything they can do to
classic
expose
Giants fan.
to expose the fraudulent NFL. Anything they can do to expose the fraudulent NFL to give a big flip of the bird to Roger Goodell on his precious Thursday night football. Anything they can do is all right with me. Now, listen, they lost a game, and that's the most important thing, and the Giants have life, and Scadabo, and, you know, again, an improving defense, big pass rush, so on and so all of that. That's the most important thing, obviously, and the Eagles have now lost two in a row. But anything that any one of these 32 teams can do to expose the NFL's idiocy, I'm a big fan of. Now, what I would say is this. Lane Johnson, the stud right tackle, is saying the offense is too predictable for the Philadelphia Eagles. And he's not wrong. Saquon Barkley has run for less than 60 yards in five of their six games. A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith are frustrated in the red zone. They got targets last night. A.J. Brown made a big play last night. Jalen Hurts is not playing terrible. Not great, but he's not playing terrible. And yet, they are completely out of sync, completely out of rhythm. So, if I was them, the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm paying Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown what I'm paying them, and Jalen Hurts what I'm paying him, is it too much of me to say, you know what? Can we not run it four times in a row? Can we not run it three or four times a game? Can we not run it in every third and one and a half, fourth and one and a half stretch or sequence? Can we not? Again, they got a first down last night. Granted, they were inside the three, but they're still running it, and they ran it four times in a row. Is that what we're talking about? Maybe there's too much of an over-reliance on that. Maybe the offense would be better if they figured out a way to be less reliant on the tush push, the brotherly shove, and more reliant on Saquon Barkley to the perimeter as a receiver, as we saw last week against Denver. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, I mentioned a big night for Goddard. Jahan Dotson. Right? So when you throw all this into the mix, the Eagles might be, what's that saying? Cutting their nose off before their face, or what's that?
Cut off your nose to spite your face?
Cut off your nose to spite your face. Thank you, Mad Maximilian. They might be doing that. Maybe they can stop doing it a little bit. Maybe, though, last night, they just wanted a big screw you to old Uncle Raj. And again, I, for one, am here for it. And if that makes me a bad guy, it makes me a bad guy. I'm already a bad guy. People hate me.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
Yeah. I think people are mad at me.
They're always mad at you for some reason, but like that's just kind of Twitter that finds a way.
I know. 301-230-0980. Oh, and by the way, here's one tie-in that I wanted. I mentioned the Lane Johnson thing, and I mentioned the big FU to the NFL, and make no mistake about it, that's what they were doing. They'll never tell you that. That's what they were doing. Last night was a good night for Philadelphia sports, wasn't it?
Great night. Great night for Philadelphia sports.
Did anybody see what happened on the other coast?
I couldn't imagine what you're referencing right now. I have no idea.
Is Bryce Harper and Kyle Schwarber and Trey Turner and the rest of the Philadelphia Phillies going to play a playoff game today?
I forget. Let's do some research in the break, and then we'll come back and re-rack it. Are they
going to participate in the NLCS? Do we know that yet, or no?
I don't. I saw some blue last night. But outside of that, I couldn't tell you.
Now, I will say this, last parting shot. Too many of our teams struggle and suck. I will say that.
Sure.
But, boy, is it fun to see the Philadelphia sports fan and the Philadelphia teams just being brought to their knees. God love, at least in one sequence, the LA Dodgers and the New York Giants. Thank you. Thank you. And if you pray, you can say an amen on the Team 980 on your radio and streaming live on the Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. If you want to hop aboard anything that we've discussed so far, go right ahead. We'll start getting into the power of the Hail Mary when we return on the Team 980 on your radio. And again, Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. Stay with us. All right, everybody. We welcome you back. The plan was to do something football-related to get the Hail Mary conversation, but it's been announced publicly as of about 15 minutes ago by the Washington Nationals, now also the Commanders PR group, and I believe our stations, that our friend Craig Heist has unfortunately and sadly passed away. And Craig worked for both of these stations and for the Nationals and for Infinity Sports Radio and for NFL Network and ESPN Radio and AP and Metro. And I've known Craig for 16 years, I think it is. Mark Lerner, the managing principal owner and vice chairman of the Washington Nationals, put out a statement with Craig's picture saying the Washington Nationals are deeply saddened by the passing of our friend and colleague, Craig Heist, a longtime Nationals radio broadcaster. Craig was a fixture in the press box, in the clubhouse, and on the field as our team celebrated wins. He was a friend to all who met him, and we will profoundly miss his kindness, enthusiasm, and passion for baseball. Our thoughts and prayers are with his loved ones at this difficult time. The Commanders PR group issued a statement which they attached to the Nationals message. And by the way, the Nationals, in addition to the statement, said, "We'll miss you, Craig, with a heart." The Commanders attached their words, if you will, their message on top of the Nationals' message which is on behalf of the Washington Commanders. We send our heartfelt condolences to the family and friends of Craig Heist. Craig was a fixture in the Northwest Stadium press box on game days. His positive energy and presence will be sorely missed by all who knew him. That was what I was referring to earlier. And if anybody actually heard that when I said some tough news that you guys will be finding out about, just wanted to wait for the proper channels to do what needed to be done. Got that call this morning, and it's never a call that you want. And it's a call we've received way too much just in radio. You know, in the last 11 months, Pete passed away in late January. Pete Medhurst, who also worked with the Nationals, John Feinstein over the summer, Rick Snyder recently, and now Craig Heist. In addition, some WTOP personalities, Dimitri Sotis passed away earlier this year, Jeff Claybaugh just recently. Certainly not the only people. Unfortunately, people pass away all the time. It's a harsh, cruel, cruel world. But, I've known Craig for, like I said, 16 years, and I considered him a friend and a colleague, and I think he considered me that. And I'll just tell you this, he could not, like so many of my friends are so nice to my son, so nice. Craig was one of them. Every time I saw Craig, every time. And I would always, Heisty, Heistar. That was what I called him. I didn't call him Craig. Every time I'd see him, how's the boy? How's Ty, man? And he would talk to him all the time. And when we were at Nationals Park for a couple of games when Tyler was here, I think we went to like 2 games in 4 or 5 days. He saw him both times. Craig was out in the red box, out on the concourse, and he'd come out of the studio and he'd give Tyler a big hug and, talk to him and take pictures with him. And just be so, so incredibly kind to him. I had Tyler's mom broke the news to him, and he immediately called, and he said, "Daddy, I'm so sad about your friend Heisty." And I said, because he called him Heisty and Heistar as well, I said, buddy, I'm sorry for your loss too, because Craig Heist loved you. He cared about you. He asked about you all the time. And he didn't have to do that. And that's just the personal side of Craig Heist. There was, for a long period of time, there was nobody that worked more and worked harder and grinded this business more than Craig Heist. We'll miss you, we love you, and we thank you. Craig Heist, back after 2 o'clock on the Team 980.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.